This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Tuesday, March 28th. Well, yesterday a pretty impressive day again in wheat, following up with Friday's push to the upside, kind of breaking loose of a lot of congestion in the wheat space. Friday we closed pretty decent, you know, we shaved about a third of the trading range off by the time we settled. But yesterday we came in, we opened up just a little bit lower, but the market just steadily worked its way higher and held on to those gains throughout the session. So we pushed beyond Friday's high. We closed either at or above Friday's high, which is showing that the market is well supported. And it's not like a blow off top. You know, Friday, we were up 40 cents at one point on Friday early in the day session. So there was a flurry of buying, clearly a lot of short covering going on there. But the ability of the market to hang on to most of those gains was impressive. And then yesterday you come in after a weekend and the market continues to grind its way higher. I think clearly we've established a seasonal low in wheat. And as we head into April, the market is looking at fundamentals, of course. It's looking at weather in the southern plains, and it's not only seeing the dryness in the western half of the southern plains, starting from southwest Kansas and then just straight south. It's not only seeing that continue to be dry, but the dryness is expanding. It's actually reaching into almost all of Kansas and even getting up into southern Nebraska. So it's expanding east through Oklahoma, Texas, but the critical state, of course, is going to be Kansas. And to see no relief on the extreme drought that we've had so far in the west, in the southwest Kansas, but that it's growing, clearly is a concern to the market. We've pretty much written off Texas by now. Oklahoma still could have a chance if the rains would come, but they're not forecast. And then, of course, Kansas is, the epicenter of hard red winter wheat production, and things are not looking all that rosy there either. So I think that, you know, Kansas City's been leading the way higher, continues to be the leader higher, and I think will continue to be it. Now those spreads are getting pretty wide against Chicago, but I don't see a reason why that spread would run out of gas just yet. Soft red winter wheat production is looking pretty confident that you're going to have a good crop. If anything, there's probably too much water on that crop, but as it is right now, it's not a critical issue. For spring wheat, there could be some concern about late plantings. I think your acreage base probably is pretty safe, considering there's still at least a foot, if not 2 feet of snow across most of North Dakota, almost all of Minnesota, northern South Dakota. That's prime spring wheat country. Montana is starting to clear off, but North Dakota, of course, is the epicenter of spring wheat production, and they're not going to get in the field very quickly. So that you're starting to write off a lot of corn acres across the northern plains. So that's going to switch back to the small grains. The first option would be spring wheat. If it gets to be late plantings, you're probably looking more and more likely an increase in spring wheat acres. But still, they're probably going to get in late. So that just pushes everything back. It pushes spring wheat reproduction into the heat of summer. And as we know, it can get wicked hot across the northern plains. So you try to get the crops in early to avoid that sweltering heat as you get into July and August. And that's probably not going to happen this year. I just don't see it. Even if you have a fast warm-up, you're going to have flooding to deal with. A slow warm-up, of course, just puts you later in the field. So the northern plains starting to wreak some havoc on not only, the row crops, but potentially, small grain crops as well. And this snow cover is not just, the Dakotas, Minnesota. It's stretching over into Wisconsin, into Michigan. There's more snow on the way. They're forecasting up to 10 inches across much of that country. It's just crazy how much snow already is on the level, how much more is coming, and it's going to stay cold. So that's almost 25% of the U.S. corn crop in that region. that's staring down the barrel of very late plantings or no plantings at all for corn. So corn, new crop corn yesterday was taking the lead. So you had bear spread action going on, but bull spread action has been the case for a while. So those are just correcting a bit. But in corn, you've got some pretty interesting things developing. We are pretty much the only game in town when it comes to exports for corn for the next 3-4 months. Brazil is planting a crop, a little bit slow getting the soybean crop out from some rain delays. So they're already getting past the ideal planting season for corn. So it's going to get in, some of it's going to get in a little bit late. For the most part, moisture conditions have been good, but it's been fairly dry for the last couple weeks in central Brazil, which is where most of that safrinha crop is grown. The forecast for the next 2 weeks is dry. So that takes us into, you know, well into April. And usually by the end of April, you're into the dry season for Brazil. So there's about a 2 week window in there in mid-April that crop will need a good amount of rainfall or you start to run into stress problems there. So we just are, well, they are just on the tail end of harvest of a record soybean crop because of just ideal conditions. And for the most part, the northern part of that central region, the corn planting went into very good conditions. But it's that kind of southern half of that that's not quite as ideal. It's not a train wreck yet, but there are some warning signals there that, you know, the corn crop coming out of Brazil, which won't hit the world pipeline till July, might not be quite as robust as the soybean crop. So just something to keep in mind. But what it does say is that if nothing else, you know, their production is not going to hit the world pipeline till midsummer. Ukraine is the world's third largest corn exporter. We all know what that situation is like. They don't even have their crop completely harvested yet from last year because of the war. And now they're starting to talk about crop conditions, the quality going down. Certainly some of that still standing in the field is going to see some poor quality. But we're hearing about deterioration of corn in storage as well. So not a good situation for them, not that it has been for the last year and a half, but still we're looking at little competition from Ukraine for these next few months as well. Unless they suddenly come up with a whole bunch of grain that they were talking about here a few weeks ago, the corridor remains open. It's been slow going for them. I don't see that really changing all that much, but they're just not going to be that big of a competitor, I think, moving forward. And certainly their new crop production is going to be way less than they did last year, which was poor, or the year before, because A, it costs a lot to grow corn. B, it's most of what they grow is exported, which has just been a struggle for them. So why not grow, why not grow a crop that they will consume domestically? And that's sunflowers. So what we're hearing about new crop acreage base is a huge shift over to sunflowers, basically for Ukraine. So that leaves the U.S. wide open. And for old crop, of course, we're pretty much the only game in town. A reliable supplier and a quick supplier, if you will, for corn. New crop, of course, that just depends on our weather. We'll know what Brazil's crop is by the time we're in the heart of our growing season. So that's kind of, we'll be able to monitor that very quickly. So you have corn in a situation where old crop is running into very good demand window. You've got a new crop situation that's probably starting to factor in losing some acres. And you've got a Brazilian crop that's not in trouble yet, but there are some warning signals there. So if all of these things converge, and basically, you know, for the U.S., they are already converging. It's just a matter of Brazil if that part of the equation is really going to kick in or not. But I think either way, corn has turned a corner to the upside. I think we build in some weather premium here. I think we're, you know, trying to protect an acreage base that may not, it may not be about price, it may not be about more snow than anything or cold weather. But either way, I think the market moves higher and our target is still going to be that early May time window for both wheat and corn. You know, the weather market in wheat has really yet to kick in. It's starting to kick in. The market is holding firm, these good solid gains, but it's not like it's been a runaway. For corn, I think we're just getting started there too. So there's plenty of upside here and plenty of time to get it done. Taking a look at crop conditions for Texas, we're at 48% poor to very poor. That's up 4 from last week. Good to excellent is at 18%. That's down 5 on the week. We're 25% headed out. Corn plantings in Texas at 52%. That's 7 points ahead of the average. In Oklahoma, we're 32% poor to very poor. That's a drop of 11 from last week. 34% good to excellent is up 5. In Kansas, 52% poor to very poor. That's up 2. 19% good to excellent is unchanged. We're 4% jointed in Kansas, which is 3 points ahead of the average. Topsoil moisture is rated at 68% short to very short. Subsoil moisture is rated at 77% short to very short. So that explains why we're at 52% poor to very poor crop conditions. In Colorado, we're at 22% poor to very poor. That's down 2. 28% good. That is down 8. In Montana, we're at 6% poor to very poor, or just poor, I should say. That's down 3. We're at 31% good to excellent, which is up 10. 8% is at, we're reporting at moderate freeze damage, and 67% has adequate snow cover. So just to give some perspective on where we are across wheat country. And it's also worth noting that when you look at the western half of the Southern Plains, that includes Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, subsoil moisture is almost virtually absent. So there's just nothing to draw on. And so you need timely rains. And again, Texas is pretty much toast. Oklahoma is getting there pretty quickly. Kansas, you know, still has time to get, the crop salvaged, but you need something, you need some rain right away. And the next 2 weeks don't call for anything. So that puts you pretty deep into April. That's critical that some rains come, and timely rains, that just to keep it going. Taking a look at weather around the rest of the Northern Hemisphere, we've got the Black Sea region has been trending dry over the last couple weeks. It is slated to get much above normal rainfall over these next 2 weeks. So we need to see that materialize, or we start to take a harder look at crop conditions and the potential there. But for now, it's nothing critical, and the rains are in the forecast. The European Union looks pretty darn good. They've had plenty of moisture through the winter. Their subsoil and topsoil moisture conditions look fine, and they've got increasing rain in the forecast over these next 2 weeks. China is another one that we're starting to see some red flags pop up. It's currently been dry across the key region of the North China Plain, which is huge winter wheat country. It's where almost all of the winter wheat is grown. Spring wheat is up in the Northeast. Corn is a huge corn country as well. So we're watching that. That's starting to be a little more focused on the radar. They are looking at a small window of a forecast. For the next 3 days, nothing. The 4 to 7 day forecast calls for a fair amount of rain. And then beyond that, it's dry again. So they need to see these rains, or there too, you're starting to come out of dormancy in a critical region on a bit of a dry stretch. Again, nothing critical, but certainly showing up on the radar. So a lot of stuff going on. You know, of course, it's we're getting into the growing season, we're getting into the planting season, and we're going to be paying a lot more attention to what's going on around the world. So I think moving forward, the market has shown that it's got a lot of strength to it, and it takes a lot of energy to hang on to these gains, but the market's doing it. And, you know, hedge funds have been aggressively short wheat, so they're going to start to feel some pain here pretty quickly. I think you blew some stops out on Friday, but again, the market held well. You're continuing to push higher yesterday. You're holding your gains. I think we still have plenty of room to the upside for wheat and corn, again, targeting that early May window where we should wrap up any kind of a weather issue in winter wheat. and we should have a pretty good idea of what the corn planting situation is going to be as well. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.